right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. It is Friday morning, and that means all of our regular Friday features will be happening. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. We're also going to talk about the nominations for the this year's inductees in the Toy Hall of Fame, and plus much more here on WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Right now, I want to welcome to the show an Emmy Award-winning airborne cameraman, and he's worked on things like The Deadliest Catch. He worked on the James Bond movie The World Is Not Enough, and he does aerial shots that you see of sporting events and other things, and it's really an amazing story, and he will be doing the aerial camera work for this this Monday night's Bears game. He's got a book called Help from Above, How I Went from Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky, Volume 1. It's available now. His name is David Allen Arnold, and you can check out davidallenarnold.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page. But let's welcome him to the show right now. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. I love this. I'm a big fan of overnight talk radio.
Oh, great. That's great. Well, there you go. That's what we do here. That's fantastic. It's just a fascinating story about what you've done. And I'm looking at, you know, the things that you've worked on, the movies, the television shows, the commercials. It's you have quite the resume, David.
Well, thank you very much. And speaking of overnight radio, one of the things that I did early in my career was I started out sweeping the floor. And when you're working all night doing a thing like cleaning the floor in a warehouse, you know, talk radio is just such a lifeline when I'm doing something like that and I'm tired and there's no one else around and it's kind of a monotonous task. But just to, you know, hear stories like the ones you do on the air overnight just kind of keeps me going, keeps my energy up.
Yeah.
And yeah, eventually I got out of sweeping the floor and started to work on some TV shows and some movies. Really what got me into those roles was the kind of, you know, dedication I had to my work when the only thing I really had to do was clean up the shop.
You know, it's amazing, David, that how many times I've heard that from our listeners, and I know how many listeners, you know, this is a very intimate time to do radio because a lot of people can't sleep, they're lonely, or they're working. Like you said, David, we've got a lot of truck drivers out there who listen to us, people who work the third shift, and I hear those stories all the time about how we actually, like, literally keep people company during the night, and it's an important position to have, I think.
Absolutely. And I'm one of those people. And so, you know, a show like yours where you have such interesting topics and historical things and stories, for me, it's just a lifeline when I'm working into the wee hours.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's talk about this. You started out sweeping floors. How does one go from sweeping floors to being an airborne cameraman working on James Bond movies? Can you give me kind of an idea on how that happened?
It's interesting. I sort of learned over time that I have been given a number of opportunities in my career simply because of my willingness to work hard and not complain. Mm. And so sweeping the floor, although it seems like an unlikely path into the world of television and movies, it actually kind of was a natural path because I found out over time that, you know, some of the big bosses that I came in contact with when I was just a kind of a hungry kid off the streets, they were looking for someone who would not have an attitude, not make things worse if there was a problem at work, and just simply work hard, you know, be nice to everyone and not complain. And so me doing simple things like showing up on time, doing my best, even if it wasn't a glamorous task at work, and being someone that they could always count on to make things better and not worse, is something that opened doors for me. And then within 6 months of, you know, even though I started sweeping the floor, within 6 months, they were sending me out to work on TV shows and movies.
And had you had experience behind the camera before?
Not really. I I was a young kid. In fact, when I started, I was too young to rent a car. So they would send me to Chicago to work on a movie. And I couldn't, they would send me to the, you know, I'd land at the airport. But when I went to the rental car counter, I wasn't 25 yet. So I couldn't rent a car.
Wow.
Because rental car companies won't do that until you're 25. And so it was interesting. And definitely an adventure, you know, for someone like me to come in off the street with no experience and no expertise, really. And, you know, to be thrown into a, you know, a high-paced world of television and movie production was, it was kind of a bit of a whirlwind for me. And like I said, it was a little bit of a shock to my colleagues that I had been hired with no experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm kind of glad I finally wrote a book about my experience, because so many people ask about that. The questions that I get when I travel, people see the massive million-dollar high-tech gyro-stabilized cameras that I use on helicopters and airplanes. And they look at all that technology and they go, wow, you must have gone to school for this, right?
Uh-huh.
And I have to tell them, no, I'm not. I'm not college educated. I'm just a blue-collar guy. And I didn't take a college path into my career. And the next question that they always ask is, well, how do I get a job doing something like that? You know, flying in Chicago for Monday Night Football. And I always tell them, listen, when I got my dream job, they weren't hiring. Mm. So the answer, I think, to anyone who wants any kind of job, I think, in this light, is to just go for it and to just make yourself available, you know. And in my case, I used to just go door to door, and I would knock on business doors, and when they opened, I would say, hey, anything I can help you guys with, I'll work for free, you know, I'll start right now. And doing that enough and being persistent about it caused the door to swing open one day, and here I am.
Wow, that's amazing. That really is. Now, did you start out, David, did you start out airborne camera, or were you on the ground first working behind the camera and then moved up, you know, no pun intended?
Well, it was my first job in TV and movies is what I'm still doing. And so when the door swung open, it was interesting. At first, they told me to get lost. They said, we don't need you to come in and do anything for us. All we do are helicopter cameras. And I listened. And I said, oh, okay, well, whatever. I scratched them off my list. I quit knocking on that door. And I went to other doors. But these guys called me back 3 weeks later. They called me.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me in for an interview. And they said, listen, we could hire somebody with qualifications, you know, from one of the big media cities like Hollywood or New York. But the one thing we like about you is you seem hungry. Are you hungry? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't know anything about aviation or airplanes or helicopters. I had no interest in aviation, wasn't looking for a flying job, but I really was hungry. And because they were giving me an opportunity, I went home and I took a picture of me cutting into an old greasy work boot as if it was a sirloin steak with a big smile on my face. And I sent the picture to them the next day. And they told me later, they said, when the boss saw that picture, you had the job.
Oh, wow. So tell me about the first time you went up, the first thing that you did.
Well, the first time that I went up, we were working on a Cindy Crawford movie in Miami. And I had actually been sweeping the floor all night long. And no one told me to do that. I just knew that the shop was a mess and the big movie guys in the shop didn't have time to clean up. So I just spent all night cleaning up the shop and sweeping the floor. Mm-hmm. And when the bosses came in the next day, they didn't recognize the place. It was so neat. And my supervisor at the time, he pointed to me and he said, that's it. You're going with me on my next shoot. So next thing I know, I'm with him in Miami. I'm sitting in the back of his helicopter and we're floating off the ground in Miami with a 35 millimeter movie camera bolted to the front of the helicopter.
Mm.
And it was amazing. It wasn't what I thought it would be. I thought it would be violent and like riding a roller coaster, but I found it was really smooth, and it wasn't uncomfortable in any way. It was just like sitting in a couch, and then the couch just sort of floats off the ground, and now we're flying above the city of Miami, and I can look out the windows and see the entire population of the city, you know, is all within our field of view. And so that was my introduction to flying cameras.
Wow, that's amazing. And so tell me about some of your favorite events that you've covered. Let me ask you this: what are the challenges that are different between doing, say, a movie and doing a live event? Which one is more challenging for you?
Well, I think they're all challenging in different ways. The live TV shows like Monday Night Football are a challenge because there's no opportunities to redo it. So when they put my camera on the air, I'm camera 13. When they say ready 13, take 13, that's it. 10 million people are watching the picture that's coming through my lens. Mm-hmm. And so I have to get that right. There's only one time. It's got to be done right the first time. Everyone's watching. And so there's a little bit of a pressure, you know, of 10 million people watching what I'm doing. And I'm sure you can relate. You have so many people listening to your show and hanging on your every word.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of pressure that comes with that. And also, you know, I do like challenges. I love adventure. And so for me, that kind of pressure is exhilarating and I enjoy it. It sort of forces me to rise to the occasion. And I think it's a great thing to have at work is that kind of pressure to shine, you know, on time.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, David, hang on, okay? We have to take a break. All right, David Allen Arnold is with us, and he is an Emmy Award-winning airborne cameraman, and he will be covering the air for the Bears game on Monday night. And he's done a ton of stuff, too, movies, commercials, and he's written a book. We'll talk all about that and more after we take a break here on 720 WGN.
Texting enrolls for alerts and offers via automatic text message. Message and data rates may apply.
Has dinner got you down? Sick of awful frozen meals or unhealthy fast food? Don't despair, because Martha Stewart is doing a free taste test, giving away 3 full-size meals from her new meal kit delivery service, Martha and Marley Spoon. All fresh ingredients with Martha's delicious and easy recipes. You're eating in just 30 minutes. To be part of Martha's at-home taste test and get 3 free meals, be one of the first 100 people to text the word meal to 246810. It's so easy. Text us now. Martha and Marley Spoon meals are easy, simple, and delicious. And right now, Martha wants you to enjoy 3 of her best 30-minute meals for free so you can save time and enjoy eating dinner again. To be part of Martha's at-home taste test and get your 3 free meals, be one of the first 100 people to text meal to 246810. That's meal to 246810. Meal to 246810.
Message and data rates may apply. Attention all men 40 and older. You can now get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Just text LIKE to 42424. Here's the harsh reality of getting older. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. It's not your fault. It just happens. But you don't have to accept it. Be a man of action. Text LIKE to 42424 right now to get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help men feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and even more passionate. So, if you want to start performing better in the boardroom and the bedroom, get back on top with Nugenix. Feel stronger with a lot more energy and drive. Get your complimentary bottle today by texting LIKE to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text LIKE to 42424. That's LIKE to 42424. LIKE to 42424.
All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above downtown Chicago, and we are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6. It's Friday morning. That means all of our regular Friday features will be happening. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And right now, though, we're talking with David Alan Arnold. He's an Emmy Award-winning airborne cameraman. Started out sweeping the floors and now is up, you know, in the air covering live events from the sky and working on movies and all kinds of great stuff. He's written a book called Help from Above, How I Went from Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky, Volume 1, which is available now. And let's welcome David back to the show. David, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I just absolutely love being here with you and your overnight audience.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So let's talk a little bit about the dangers. You know, I'm not good with heights, David. I would never be able to do what you do. But what are the inherent dangers that are involved in doing this?
Well, flying cameras with a helicopter or an airplane can be very dangerous. Sometimes we're at risk because of the weather that we're flying in on Deadliest Catch. Deadliest Catch is kind of famous for the sort of frozen hurricanes that they have up there. And I know everyone's focused right now on the hurricane that's coming to the eastern seaboard.
Right.
And, you know, when we're on Deadliest Catch, we're in the far north in the Bering Sea, and those kind of storms come every year. And, you know, we're filming these fishermen who drive their boats into that weather to go and catch king crab for us. And it's just an unbelievable, it's a spectacular adventure to witness that and to see what these guys do, in a very dangerous environment.
Yeah, I watched the show, and it's remarkable, actually. Incredible.
Yeah, it's kind of sensory overload. These boats are crashing through mountainous waves.
Yeah.
And hovering next to that boat is a helicopter with me in it and our camera system. And it's a dangerous job. You know, we just have so many things that can go wrong. I tell the story in the book of when I first started on Deadliest Catch on season one, the Coast Guard guys who fly there and they have a version of the Black Hawk helicopter called the Jayhawk, which has two engines. It has Buku power. It's a badass machine. It has heated blades so that the ice up there doesn't stick to their blades and cause a problem. And those flight crews came over and looked at us in our little helicopter, and it was as if they had seen a ghost. And one of them looked at me and he goes, "You guys are going out in that?" And
Oh man.
And when he said that, they had just crashed a Jayhawk in the Bering Sea.
Oh.
They were trying to rescue some guys from a sinking cargo ship. And one of the Coast Guard guys leans into me and he goes, "You know, it's so gnarly out here that we have to check in when we're flying every 10 minutes with our office so that they know we're still alive."
Oh, my God. Wow.
And so that was my introduction to the world of Deadliest Catch.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was pretty harrowing, and so in the book I talk some of those stories of the storms that we've flown through, some of the really dangerous things that we've done over the years as part of making the show with the helicopter, and it's like I said, I'm glad I finally wrote a book about it so that people can see some of those stories that they wouldn't otherwise have known.
Right.
You know, what went into making that show.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, some of your credits include Entourage, Amazing Race, Celebrity Apprentice, Ice Road Trucker, Survivor. You've done American Idol, The X Factor. You've done Hell's Kitchen, Master Chef. You've covered the Super Bowl. You've covered the World Series. You've done The Biggest Loser. I mean, you've been all over the place with the aerial camera work. Is there a favorite event that you've covered or a favorite thing that you've done?
Well, definitely the 2016 World Series.
Oh, well,
Chicago.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Woo! I mean, I've shot thousands of sporting events, and I enjoy them all, and I love to see the people come out, the crowd, and everyone's all excited to watch the game, and it's such a fun part of life. But I have never seen anything like what I saw at Game 5.
Yeah.
In Chicago, and it's just such an incredible thing to look down and see an entire city focused on what's happening in that stadium.
Yeah,
and it was a little foreboding because we knew that, you know, teams haven't come back from being behind in a World Series like that before, you know, recently. And it was kind of a lot of pressure. And the police, the Chicago police, you know, starting that morning, they started surrounding that stadium.
Yeah.
So much so that during the game, there was an army of police, basically arm in arm, all the way around that stadium. They had the place surrounded because they didn't know, well, what if this doesn't go well? There could be a riot.
And right.
So they were all poised and ready to squash any kind of disturbance that would come after the game. And the game ends. The Cubs pull it off. They won. They kept hope alive for the entire city. And let me tell you something about looking down on a stadium from our airplane during the game. The stadiums start emptying 30 minutes before the end of the game, typically.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the game, the stands are mostly empty. People are already waiting in traffic to get home.
Right.
And that game, an hour after the game was over, I looked down and the stadium was still packed.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. It was amazing. And I want to say it was maybe 2 hours later that people finally, you know, started to leave. And as they came out of Wrigley Field, just they're high-fiving the police.
Yeah.
it was unbelievable. And from our altitude, we can see the entire city, you know, as we're flying next to the stadium. And I'd look out across all the buildings of Chicago, and there were W flags everywhere.
Mm.
And it's just, in the world of sports, I've been all over the country. I've shot Super Bowls. I've shot World Series before. I just had never witnessed anything like that. And that was, you know, that was only game five.
I know. And it got even crazier. That's great, yes, man. That's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. And you got to record all that and witness it. Listen, David, it's been so much fun talking to you. Your book is available. It's called Help from Above, How I Went from Sweeping the Floor to Painting the Sky, Volume 1. We didn't even talk about your battle with organized crime, which is also in the book as well. But people can check out DavidAllenArnold.com for more information. It's a great story that you have, David, and continued success. And we'll see you in Chicago on Monday.
Nick, thank you so much.
All right.
And you mentioned truck drivers. I want to give a shout out to everybody who's driving a truck and listening to you on the radio. I love you guys. Be safe. And I used to be just like you, working all night and listening to a show just like this.
Got it. Thanks. David, so much fun to talk to you. Take care.
Thank you, Nick.
All right, see you. There you go. David Allen Arnold. What an amazing story. Sweeping floors to flying 2,000 feet in the air, covering news events and stories and movies. And it's a great story. And his book is called Help from Above. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN.